more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Back here on Cap and Haw, Adam Hoge, Jen Latta, Mark Carmen in here as well. Just had a conversation with Howard Moore. That was fun, guys. I mean,
yeah, good guy.
He, you know, he probably deserved another year at UIC. I think, you know, the as tough of a situation as that was coming in, you know, he had 5 years there, but, you know, improved from the year before. And I think, you know, you heard him right here on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. I mean, the guy knows his basketball. He knows the area. And, you know, it's a tough situation.
You got to decide what you're all about. A guy like that, Howard Moore, representing your program, if you're a UIC, tough place to win. Maybe you would have gotten there. That guy's first class all the way.
Absolutely. Time to now bring in the usual person who's sitting in this chair. His name is David Kaplan. You may have heard of him. What's going on there, Butterscotch?
What's going on there, Sparkles? How you doing?
I'm good, Cap. How's Arizona? How's spring training?
Can't be bad when it's 86 degrees and sunny. So
right.
Yeah.
Oh, at like 9 a.m.? Woof.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I like heat, and I'm getting heat. Supposed to go to 95 here at the end of the week. It's right up my alley.
Has your love affair with Chris Bryant grown even stronger in the last few days?
Chris, how would you answer that question? No, I'm kidding.
He's right there next to you, huh?
You guys sharing a hotel room?
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to get a chance to watch him at third base today. So you'll see the middle of their future because it's going to go, I believe, Rizzo, Soler, and Bryant, something like that in today's lineup against the Oakland A's at HoHoCam. So that'll be a lot of fun. And there's a 10 o'clock B game that's going to start here in a little bit. And Kyle Hendricks will be on the hill for that one. So it should be interesting to watch him play third base today.
Cap, as you look at this Cubs team so far, getting a chance, obviously you're following it close every day throughout the last month of spring training, but getting down there in the last few days and kind of seeing everything up close, talking to the people that you talk to, are you still buying into this team and how much better do you think they'll be this year?
You know, I think the people that feel like, oh my God, they could win the World Series, I think that's a little misguided at this point. Because you're relying on so many young kids. I think it's a good baseball team. I think it's a better baseball team. But, you know, the odds dropping in Vegas to 8-1 or whatever, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think they're an 82, 83 win team. And that's where I have them. I think, again, Chris Bryant could be up here the second week in April and then go on to be rookie of the year and get 40 home runs and all bets are off. But until you see young kids prove it, I think people are overestimating what they feel like this team's going to be. And I think they're going to be improved, but I don't think they're going to win the World Series, no.
What are the things that need to shake out over the next week or so?
Well, you got to figure out who your fifth starter is. Is that Edwin Jackson, who pitches today? You got a lot of money tied up in him. Is that Travis Wood, who's coming off a down year but was an all-star in 13? Are you really going to break camp with three catchers because Wellington Castillo is still here, and you've acquired Miguel Montero, and you signed David Ross. So I can't believe they're going to tie Joe Maddon's hands with three catchers on the bench on the opening day roster. And then what are you going to do in your bullpen? Because you know, you've got Neil Ramirez, you've got Zachary Ross Cup, you've got Phil Koch, who came over on a minor league deal, but it's a $3 million contract if he makes it, and they want a good veteran lefty in there. So there's a number of spots still that are being fought for in the bullpen. And then, of course, the big question is Chris Bryant. Does he make the opening day roster? I say there is zero chance he makes the opening day roster. But he's got 8 home runs, which is double anyone else at all of baseball. But what if he goes out today and hits another 2 and looks phenomenal at third? I mean, he's making it real tough on them, but I don't think that this front office ends up getting blindsided by, oh, my God, we got to have him opening day. I'll be stunned if he makes the opening day roster.
Cap, one of the things that Connor McKnight came away from Arizona with was this idea, and he's not saying it's going to happen, but he said that Joe Maddon might be considering it. The idea, you mentioned the fifth starter, of having Edwin Jackson and Travis Wood sort of splitting the game every fifth day. What do you think about that idea?
I mean, I think it's interesting, and you know, as you watch Joe Maddon, everything changes. I mean, he's a very out-of-the-box thinker, which is good. I mean, he's not push button up, righty up, got to go to the righty, lefty up, got to go to the left. He's only going to do what he thinks is the right thing. He doesn't care, you know, what the media is going to say or what the fan base is going to second guess him. But that's also a product of having a veteran manager considered one of the best in the game who's got a 5-year deal for $25 million. A rookie manager on a 1-year make-good deal might not have the cojones to do some of the things you're going to watch Joe Maddon do.
Starlin Castro back in the lineup?
Starlin is not in the lineup today. They're protecting his groin that he said he tweaked a little bit. This has become an annual thing. And he says he'll be ready to go opening day, so I would imagine before I leave, I'll see him in the lineup this week, but he will not be in the lineup today as of the one they just posted.
Hey, David, Mark Carman, how are you?
Hi, Mark.
A question for you on John Lester, the dead arm. I'm a guy, as you know, that gets a little concerned with these things. What have you been able to unearth as far as the Lester arm? Because that's a guy you don't want to hear dead arm on.
Yeah, I just talked to him literally 5 minutes ago. He said, I get this every year. It's not a big deal, and I feel pretty good now. I do not think you'll see him in another spring training, you know, big game the rest of the way, because a week from Sunday is opening day, and I think you're going to see him pitch in a B game so they can control his pitch count. They can control everything more than in a Cactus League setting. And then you'll see him pitch, I think, in a minor league game some point next week just to get his pitches in so that he's ready to go April 5th.
He's the Cap Man. He's joining us live from Arizona as he spends the week in better weather and watching baseball. Sounds pretty fun to me. Cap, one of the other storylines away from baseball today, I want to get your thoughts on this, is the talk and a report out there that the Bears might be signing Ray McDonald. Are you cool with that?
You know, I'd have to know more about the back story on him. I know he was not charged. I know that he had a second incident, and then he was cleared on that, and he's suing the accuser, and they have video of what they did was consensual. It was not rape. So if they do their due diligence, and indeed he is not guilty of these charges, and I don't mean he got off on a technicality like Greg Hardy, who paid his accuser off. I'm talking he didn't do this. I'm okay with them giving a guy another chance.
It's fair. Hey, back on the baseball field, I like to ask about injured pitchers. Chris Sale, he's running around. He's going to throw today, simulated game on Friday. You got anything on Sale?
They're confident that while he may not pitch opening day, that he's going to be there pretty quickly, and they feel like this was just a minor speed bump. That I just talked to someone over there, and they said minor speed bump. Unfortunate, but he'll be fine.
Cap, you sound nice and calm and relaxed out there. It's like a new Cap. I don't love the guy who's fired up here every day, but I'm happy that you're relaxed out there. It's nice. Baseball will do that to you.
This is not normally me, but I'm like 10 feet from Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein and John Lester. These guys are all right there, so I'm trying to be some degree of dialing myself down. It's not easy, believe me.
They know you're a lunatic. You don't need to do that.
They do know I'm a lunatic, and I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable being a lunatic.
What about the hairdo, Cappy? You like Joe Maddon looking just like you, buddy?
Respect the bald. They even gave me a T-shirt. Respect the bald. Yeah, it's a good look. I mean, you know, some of the guys that are out here, John Lester already is bald. But the funny thing is, I'm looking at Jed Hoyer right now, and he went with the bald. You know, they shaved him down, and he needs to grow his hair back. Not a good look.
I like the honesty. Hey, Cap, as we let you go, anything else we need to get from you today?
No, I mean, we'll see how Kyle Hendricks throws in his B game this morning, and then the big thing to watch is Chris Bryant this afternoon and Edwin Jackson, and you can follow me on Twitter, and I'll be all over that this afternoon. So looking forward to two games today.
At the Cap Man's where you follow him on Twitter. All right, Cap. Talk to you soon, probably later this week.
You got it.
All right. David Kaplan out in Arizona. So not really calm, just standing next to Theo Epstein.
I mean, walk away if it's going to mute you, right? You can't let Theo being 5 feet away from you to intimidate you on the radio.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. It showed his versatility.
Let's see. Look at Jen.
I liked it.
See?
He's always a maniac.
It was a good performance, I thought.
I appreciate that he's got some depth.
I'm actually just hoping we can get Jed and Theo to be in studio every single day, because that would make my life a lot easier if he's kind of a little more muted and a little calmer. Right.
I wish I had introduced myself a la Carmen.
He's paying attention.
Hey, Cap, Jen Latta, Comcast Sportsnet. Cover the Bears and White Sox occasionally.
I should ask him about Jay Cutler.
Just for consistency's sake.
We got him to pay attention for 9 minutes. 9 consecutive minutes he was paying attention.
He definitely checked Twitter at least once during that convo.
Fired off a couple texts.
Fair enough. I thought it was something that was interesting. He still said 0% chance Chris Bryant opening day.
That must be what he's hearing.
But then he left the door open a little bit.
Zero.
Didn't he leave the door open?
No, I didn't.
I didn't hear the door being open.
Oh, the part where he was like, what if he hits 2 more home runs today?
Well, he also said that the brass isn't going to allow the pressure of the fan base to change its mind.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein are worried about the fan base
at all.
Well,
that's where his 0% is coming from.
Well, and I agree with him. But then he said, what if Chris Bryant hits another 2 home runs today? What if he left the door open? It creaked a little. No?
That was your knees.
No?
Now.
All right.
He's not going to be here.
Guess I was the only one listening.
Or maybe
I was hearing things. All right. Don't worry. I am all for Chris Bryant starting the year in Iowa.
I'm not.
Okay.
Nine games.
It's Cap and Haw, Adam Hogue, Jen Latta on CSN Chicago and WGN Plus.
Back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Freddie in Elgin. What's up, Fred?
Thank you. Latta, you are right on with all of your sports analystic views.
I agree.
Well, I'm not right on, but I do work on the analystic views.
Your analystic views.
I do.
It's good.
Every morning I stretch them out.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but the NFL yesterday addressed their rules that they're changing and one that they're not changing, but they're changing the wording a little bit. By the way, it's Adam Hogue, Jen Latta here, filling in on Cap and Haw for the week. And so a couple of the headlines here. One is that I think an important one is the concussions. They're going to allow – they've had the spotter upstairs now for a couple of years – that is supposed to be there looking for people that are showing signs of concussion, but they haven't had the ability to actually stop the game. Now they can radio down to the officials, blow it dead, and get that player out of the game.
That seems like a good move.
So that's good. But then there's the catch-no-catch thing, the Calvin Johnson rule that is now morphed into the Dez Bryant rule after what happened last year in the Packers-Cowboys playoff game. I am in the complete minority here. I know I am, but I think the NFL is handling this the right way.
All right, so let's tell the people what the change was, because there was a change.
Right, the change is not in the rule. It's in the wording of the rule, which is instead of a player having to make a football move, they now have to establish themselves as a runner. What is the difference? Well, if you look at the Dez Bryant catch, the argument that people were making was that he made a football move by extending the football. Under this new wording, it clarifies that that is not a football. Well, maybe it was in the past a football move, but that is not establishing yourself as a runner by just reaching out the football. Does that make sense? That just reaching a football out.
Wow, that's a loaded question. Your explanation makes sense, yes.
But doesn't that make sense that just reaching out a football does not count as establishing yourself as a runner?
What doesn't make sense is leaving the ambiguity. I mean, this needs to be cut and dry. This needs to be black or white. It cannot be, because now what comes into interpretation is establishing oneself as a runner. But I could ask 10 people what that means. They'd all have different variations.
But that's clearer than a football move.
But
what is a football move?
If you're going to change the rule, don't make it clearer. Make it clear.
But how do you do that? I think that's the problem with this specific example. How do you make it clear? How do you make a clear catch?
I mean,
there's always...
The, the ball can't touch the ground. The, you know, I mean, there are ways. I just think, again, this goes back to what you were saying yesterday about the spirit of the rule and the rule. If a guy makes a catch, I think we all, most people, again, let's not use exclusives, but most people know what a catch looks like. It's when you try to sit here and define it that you get, you have these problems. But most people who saw the Dez Bryant catch think it was a catch. He bobbled it a little bit, right? And then he re-caught it.
Yeah, it hit the ground, and it came out.
Right, so if they had ruled it a fumble when it hit the ground, right? Let's say the rule says that. Then he would have recovered the fumble.
Correct.
And they would have maintained possession.
Right. But at the point...
Is that a bad thing? I mean...
Well, at the point he had fumbled the ball, though, that he had not completed the act of a catch. That's why it was ruled incomplete.
But you have to make it so that is a catch. However you write the rule, it has to be so that an act like that we all look at and go, what a catch, is by the letter of the law a catch. Now, beyond that, again, we can do the whole, oh, it hit the ground, well, then it'd be a fumble, well, then he recovered his own fumble. All of that would be, you know, Rule 1, Section 4 or whatever. You know, it would be all of the follow-up.
Okay, well, before I explain why I think the NFL has actually handled this very well over the last 5 years, Carmen.
Why can't it just be you have to control the football at whatever point? Like, if you control it and then you go to the ground and it comes out for a second, just show that moment where you actually control the ball. And the other part, to bring up the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law, we all know what a catch is. Why is this so difficult? It shouldn't be this hard.
Because you guys are forgetting that before the Calvin Johnson rule was put in place, the reason it was put in place is because there was all this ambiguity with catches. Because balls were popping out of arms and they were close to being fumbles. Was it a catch? Was it a fumble? That's why this whole thing started. And so in two instances in the last 5 years, how many catches have there been in the NFL in the last 5 years?
754 bazillion.
Yes, right?
Exactly.
Okay, and in two instances, there's been a controversy. That's pretty good percentage, in my opinion, right?
It's more than just those two.
But look at what this controversy led to. Look at the circumstances surrounding this controversy. You never want that to happen in the playoffs with one team moving on and the other team's season ending. And I think that if you can be clear, and again, I agree with you that there is some struggle with how to put it into words, but you've got some of the smartest people in this country who could work on this. But I just think that they've chosen not to. You know, if I break up with somebody, and I choose to break up with them, doesn't matter what the wording is, like, oh yeah, we're not seeing each other anymore, or yeah, we've chosen to take some time apart, it's a breakup, right? What? This should be clear. It should be able to tell what a catch is and what a catch
is. If you change the rules that so that it makes that Dez Bryant catch a catch and a fumble, you are opening the door to way more controversies with catches that are going to – ball's going to hit the ground, pop out, other team recovers it, everyone's going to be arguing, that shouldn't have been a fumble, that should have been an incompletion. And that's exactly where we were 6-7 years ago.
So you're worried that it's not a clean breakup and then that now you're going to think you're back together,
yeah,
type of deal?
If they open up the door, room for question, which is what this rule does, it still leaves
I think
doubt.
It clears it up more. I think that in that case – guy reached out the football, didn't complete the act of the catch yet. I know it was controversial, but that was – what's a football move? Instead, so, you have to establish yourself as a runner.
What does that mean? Does it mean you have to take a stride?
Yes,
is that what
it does.
Is? Okay, so it reminds me of when baseball changed that rule. You're going to have to help me out. In the outfield, as far as double clutching, right? Was that something that recently
– yeah, that was stupid.
Okay, but the guy – but here's the point. The players had to readjust – during the offseason, leading into that season, to things that were instinctive for them in the past, they had to stop themselves, think about it, and change it. Now you're going to see guys who are going to have to do that as well.
Well,
going to be something they focus on.
And that brings me to my next point, Jen. That is exactly what receivers have done over the last 5 years. They have made a better effort of holding the football as long as they possibly can to show for sure that they caught the football. That's what this rule helped players do. That's why I think you've actually had less controversy since this rule went into place than before the rule went into place. Yes, there's been two big instances. It started with the first game with Calvin Johnson and Soldier Field, and the Bears won a game, and it was controversial. And in that case, I'm not sure that rule was actually used properly, but I understood why there was controversy there, and then the Dez Bryant thing. Every time in between that, though, I think that this actually has, this rule has helped the game. I think it has led to less controversy, and I think it has helped players learn that they have to hold on to the football as long as possible, and this is only going to help that.
Well, what trumps what? If you're making a runner, what is it, establishing yourself as a runner, let's say they take that stride, but they haven't maintained possession. Does the stride trump the possession? Or does it go hand in hand?
Dean Blandino, the head of officiating, tried to explain this. I have the transcript from yesterday, and I will do my best to translate what Dean Blandino said. We'll take a quick timeout, take some of your phone calls on this subject as well. 312-235-2525. It's Cap and Hall on TSN Chicago and WGN Plus. Adam Hoge, Jen Latto with you back on Cap and Haw. Mark Carman's here as well. I'm the only person in the world, I think, trying to defend the NFL on this catch-no-catch rule.
Do you agree that Dez Bryant caught the football?
Based on the rule, no, I don't. And I said this that day, too. We had a show that day.
I'm really glad I asked the question just for that reaction. You got to keep that. It's so bad, Hoge. What do you mean?
You may hate the rule, but based on the rule, they made the right call.
But my argument is, if you have the opportunity to change the rule or to make the rule so that there is no more gray area, and you choose to gather your troops together and pull all the minions, and you don't walk away with something clear, you don't walk away with something that indicates one way or another. Sorry, my computer's talking to me. Then I think you failed. Then what was the point? Well, why not just leave it as it was? Is it change for the sake of change? Because that's what it comes across as. And that's when people sit there and laugh at the NFL and go, ha ha ha, you guys are such idiots, because you had the opportunity to clarify this so that it wasn't an issue going forward and we get clearly establish himself as a runner.
All right, well, let me explain what Dean Blandino said yesterday, and he's the head of officiating for the NFL. This is from the transcript of the press conference down at the owners' meetings, and he said, quote, he has to have it after that long enough to clearly establish himself as a runner. He's talking about a player catching a football. And he says, this would fall directly in line with our defenseless player rule, where we say a receiver is protected until he can clearly establish himself as a runner. What does that mean?
Like when a guy's in the air.
What does that mean? That means he has the ability to ward off, avoid, protect himself from the impending contact. So in other words, when a player catches the ball, as soon as the referees deem that he can defend himself, that's the point where a player has clearly established himself as a runner. And then we get into, is the player going to the ground or falling to the ground to make the catch, or is he completing the catch while upright? This, again, is Dean Blandino. Well, if he can clearly establish himself as a runner, then he's not going to the ground to make the catch. If he hasn't clearly established himself as a runner prior to going to the ground, then he has to hold onto the ball until after his initial contact with the ground, which Dez Bryant did not do.
But this NFL.com article, and I know that I've got the Blandino quote in front of me as well, says, Blandino essentially removed the term football move from our lexicon and is hoping his team of officials can accurately determine the receiver's position as a runner. There are going to be times when guys are stumbling to the ground that could be interpreted as a running move, right? We've seen that before. A guy is... it looks like he could go down or he could keep going.
Okay, think of it as the defenseless rule.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it like that. Think of it like, does that player, is he defenseless as he's falling? So in other words, is he catching the ball kind of falling backwards where he can't protect himself? Or is he sort of running forward and he stumbles on his own feet and he could protect himself?
Yes. All of the above.
You're right in that there is still subjectivity here. Yeah. And I think in a lot of areas of football, you just can't eliminate that completely. And I will agree with you that they probably could have done a better job clarifying this. I think it is a little clearer. I don't think they did a good enough job clarifying it. However, getting back to the original rule, I don't think that people realize that how much this has actually helped the game, because it has taken away a lot of situations that don't even occur anymore, so there's no way to judge it. You know what I mean? Players have adjusted to the rule. They hold on to the ball longer. That has, in turn, taken away more instances where players were coughing up the ball earlier, where there was more controversial plays. Those have been eliminated because, not completely, obviously, this Dez Bryant thing happened, but they have been lessened by this rule. It has helped the game over the last 5 years. Has it taken away the controversy completely? No. But I think the reason why you're not seeing the NFL change this rule completely is because it would lead to more controversy in the future.
I don't feel any more clarity at all. Like, I don't. And when they, when it happens in week one, well, was he trying to run? Did he establish a football move? I'm going to have a headache.
No more football moves.
No more football moves.
No more football moves.
Establish himself as a runner.
Oh, did he establish himself as a runner? See that right there? You can see the way his toe
could
went.
Could he defend himself?
And let's
That's
be clear,
how you got to think about
this
it.
This is how Blandino explained the Bryant play specifically. Bryant is going to the ground. He's falling to the ground to make the catch. He has not clearly established himself as a runner prior to going to the ground, so he has to hold on to the ball until after the initial contact with the ground. He basically got to hold on to it throughout the action.
Did Bryant not extend towards the goal line?
Well, that was the argument, was everybody thought that that could have been interpreted as a football move.
Right.
Extending the ball to the goal line.
And that's what they're clarifying. That is where there's clarity here. They're saying...
How's that clarity?
Because
don't even bother extending the
forget
football.
Forget the football move. That doesn't count anymore.
But he's running. His legs were moving forward.
He was
but
falling
he really
down.
He was jumping. Yeah, he had
He was extending like. Himself leg-wise and arm-wise.
Leg-wise. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Like, that's any more confusing than this.
There's no way that that brings
they
clarity
to
that
They may as well have
play.
Written, extend himself leg-wise, because that's how clear this is.
You can't tell me that that clears up that play. He was running.
He's basically got to hold on to it throughout this action. If the ball touches the ground and comes loose, it's an incomplete pass. I don't know how that's clear. You may not like that. That, fine. And I've said that all along with this play. If you're a fan out there that thinks the Cowboys should have won that game because of that play, because you thought he did enough to catch the ball, then that's you're entitled to have that opinion, and maybe I agree with you.
You're a literal.
However, based on the rule... The rule, which maybe you hate, and I'm trying to make you love it.
Let me ask
you because I'm
something.
Trying to tell you that overall in the last 5 years, it has helped the game more than it has hurt it. This rule has helped more than hurt. In that situation, it probably hurt.
Let me ask you both a question. It's 3 a.m, right? You're out late, or you're going to work. You're at a stoplight. You look left. You look right. The light's still red. You've sat there for a minute. Do you go through the light? Because the letter of the law says, you know what, that light is red. But the spirit of the law, stoplights are there to try to make you too safe. Who doesn't go through that stoplight at 3 a.m, assuming there aren't cameras? My point is that we
Thank
all...
Thank God Dean Blandino did not use this as an example to explain himself.
Where
yesterday.
Are we going
we,
right now?
Because we all know that it was a catch. We all know this. Why can't we actually
It was a
think?
Catch in your world, not
no,
in the NFL
it was,
world.
It was a catch in everyone's world.
Not according to the NFL rulebook.
If you polled Green Bay Packer fans, they'd tell you it was a catch. They'd take the W, but they'll tell you it was a catch. And they'd go through the light
knowing
at 3
Green
in the
Bay
morning.
Packer fans, I disagree with you. Yeah, let's
Why don't we just have a group of men that just sit up in some booth in New York or wherever, and they can sit there and vote. It'll be like American Idol.
Just
they
vote.
Throw up the paddles or the dancing show and say, yes, a catch, not a catch, yes, a catch, not a catch, move on.
I like the 847. A catch is a catch, the end. Thank you, 847.
Bob's in
wow.
Galena. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, guys, how you doing? You're doing a good substitution role. Calm, cool, and collected.
Thanks.
All right. All of these NFL rules to me, and I'm 68 years old, they're stupid. A catch is a catch. It's just like a running back. If he breaks the plane of the goal line, they don't care if he fumbles the ball afterwards. Des Bryant caught that ball. I don't care if he was 10 feet up in the air or what. He broke the plane of the goal line with one hand. The ball broke the plane. Hit the ground and he fumbled it. I don't care. That's a touchdown. Same thing with going out of bounds. You control the ball going out of bounds. I could care if you hit the ground and fumble it. All of these rules are stupid. To be like it was in the old days. Catch the ball, it's a catch.
People keep saying that, but how do you define possession? Because if the ball pops out, that's the whole point of this. Don't let the ball pop out. Hold on to the football as long as possible.
Right, but at some point you realize, yeah, he held on to it.
Right, because they don't exist in a vacuum.
And the NFL's trying to help these guys by even letting the ball touch the ground a little as long as it doesn't move. And maybe that's added more ambiguity here, but they're trying to help this. The ball popped out of his hand clearly, and Bob actually said it wrong the way it happened. If the ball had crossed the plane before it popped out, it would have been a touchdown.
Right.
It popped out before it crossed the plane. That's either a fumble or it's an incomplete pass. Now, he recovered the ball, so that's what people are saying. It should have been a fumble and a recovery by Dez Bryant. But based on the rule, incomplete.
847, have fun in jail, Carm, because of those red lights. Thank you.
So the runner thing, is that leg exclusive? I know this sounds silly to say, but like in order to establish oneself as a runner, you have to make a move with your legs, right? I mean, I know, again, I'm sitting here narrowing it down, but if you can, I mean, let's just think about what's going to contribute to this. Some type of acrobatic grab in the air where a guy lands on his shoulder, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all of those type of things that end up where you sit there and go, well, he didn't make a running move, but his legs were straight up in the air, so...
You know how to fix this? Just catch the ball. Don't let it hit the ground, ever. Just don't let it hit the ground. Then you don't have the problem. Hey, have you seen the new 2015 lineup of Ford vehicles? They're incredible. And Al Piemonte Ford has hundreds of new Fords and more truckloads arriving every day. This month at Al Piemonte Ford, must sell all 2014. So don't wait any longer. Now's the time to buy. Visit Al Piemonte Ford and ask about 0% financing and some great rebate and cash back offers going on now. And Al Piemonte Ford is only minutes from downtown in the western suburbs. Visit Al Piemonte Ford, 25th and North Avenue in Melrose Park. Al Piemonte Ford. Adam Hoge, Jen Latta, more on these NFL rules. There's a couple other ones we should get to as well. Plus your phone calls, 312-235-2525. It's Cap and Haw on CSN Chicago and WGN Plus.
Cap and Haw.
Adam Hoge, Jen Latta, talking about the NFL's attempt to clarify the catch no catch rule. I'm looking at the video right now. It's a tough one.
You're looking at the video of the Dez Bryant?
Yeah, Dez, that's an incredible effort by Dez Bryant.
Well, and again, I feel like the fans at home think that should play a role in it, right? If a guy puts that much effort into it and hangs onto the ball and then recaptures the ball or recovers the football, it should count as a catch. I mean, I was saying earlier, look, just put it to a committee. Have five guys in New York who can say, catch, no catch, and that's the end of it.
Majority, well, they sort of have that now with the replay booth.
Majority rules.
In New York. I mean, they are having these conversations about that. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Aldo into the program. What's going on, Aldo?
Hey, guys. Dez Bryant, after he makes control of the ball, he takes two steps towards the goal line, arguably three, and then his right elbow hits the ground first. Then he loses control of the ball. So the problem with the rule is that they are legislating action after the ball is theoretically dead, and that's different from every other play in football. That play should have been called dead after his right elbow hit the ball. He still had control. It should have been dead and marked at the one-yard line. That's my problem with the rule as it exists now.
That's a phenomenal call. And everything you just said is correct. Thanks, Aldo. I mean, that's the problem here. And even as I defend the NFL on this rule as a whole, because I think it has taken, as controversial as this play and the Calvin Johnson play back in the day have been, I think there have been plenty of instances that we don't even know about because players are holding onto the ball as long as possible when maybe in the past they hadn't. But what Aldo just said is correct, that he's got the feet in, he's got possession of the ball, The elbow hits. The Packers player is touching him.
Should be dead.
Should be dead right there, right? On most plays. Then the ball comes out, and based on this rule, which is unique to the
new
league.
New rule or the way it was written?
The way it has been.
Okay.
You know, since
the way it has been written.
For the last 5 years.
But now, based on the rule, would that have been a catch? No, it still would have not.
It still wouldn't have been. But, right. But that's why I understand from Aldo's standpoint there why people have a problem
Definitely.
With the rule.
Absolutely.
I totally understand that.
So, again, the point is that the NFL, I think that people think if the NFL was going to address this rule on the heels of the Dez Bryant catch, no catch, there would have been changes that would have made what they saw in that game between the Cowboys and Packers a catch. Right? Because you walked away from that game thinking that was a catch. What's the NFL going to do so that if that exact situation happens again, the Cowboys would have walked away with that being a catch? They got together, they talked, they changed it, but the end result is the same. It's still not a catch. So then you sit there and scratch your head and go, well, what was the point? Why you change the verbiage if the outcome with that play that spurred the conversation in the first place is the same?
It's probably not what they want, but part of me wonders, do they like the ambiguity in it just so...
They like it so that they...
We're talking about
case.
Right now.
Well, I don't know if they specifically... And Sports Talk Radio is going to be talking about this all day tomorrow. No, yeah. But I think everybody likes to give themselves a little wiggle room.
I mean, the NFL offseason is almost as good as the season. When there was a lockout, talked about the NFL every single day.
I just can't imagine that in any panel discussion where they're debating how to go forward with this rule, they're going... Listen, if we don't clear it up, every sports talk radio station in the country tomorrow is going to be crabbing about it.
Fair enough.
So let's just leave it.
More likely, they're looking at it the way I am, which is that overall in the past 5 years, how much has this helped and hurt the game? And obviously there's two cases where it's been controversial. It hasn't been good publicity for the NFL. A team went home. Their season
yes.
ended because of this. That's not good. But how many of these situations would we have continued to have over the last 5 years if they were still allowing the ball to come loose and calling it a catch? Players wouldn't have changed their habits. They wouldn't be holding onto the ball as long. I think that's where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my guess. That seems rational to me.
That's where the league is coming from?
You may not agree with it, but I think that's where the genesis of this rule came from, and I think the best argument against it is exactly what our last caller, Aldo, said, which was that how in the world can a guy have 2 feet in, possession of the ball, elbow, knees, whatever down, touched down by the opposing defender, and usually any other play, the
dead.
Play's dead at that
right.
point.
Whistle dead.
How could you possibly lose the ball after that and not have a completed catch? I think that's completely fair.
And why didn't the NFL address that?
That's fair. I don't know if that question was specifically asked yesterday. Maybe it should have.
Because that, I think, is probably one of the things that needed to be addressed.
Yeah.
We're watching this play. As you said, everything that needs to happen happened for the play to be whistled dead. And after the fact, things changed. You know, the league needs to say, hey, and again, look, human error. We've talked about that before, right? There's officials. They are people. They're going to screw up calls. There just needs to be a checks and balances that if it happens, we're going to do our best so that it doesn't happen again. And I think that this rule is kind of just that. It's kind of a red herring. It's kind of like, look over here. We changed the rule. But when you get right down to it, they didn't change anything except the wording.
Well, that's accurate.
And the NFL in the last year or so has done nothing to endear itself to the fan base, right? So these are the types of things that people kind of roll their eyes over, like the NFL getting in its own way again.
That's another great point. Nothing to endear. And they don't have to, right?
They don't.
Like, at all.
They don't. People are still going to watch, as you said earlier in the show, Mark. Emilio's up next. Hi, Emilio.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
You guys doing a great job. The NFL should talk to you guys about making the rules changes.
That's nice of
you. Input. Real quick, Jen, you made a great point about if the Bulls won, we wouldn't be talking about minute restrictions. And I think it's more so not the minutes restrictions. I think we didn't have the talent back then, especially when Rose went down. I think that was deflated that year. We had our best chance that year. But since then, you know, it's all about talent. and health. Getting back to the rule change, Dez Bryant did make a running movement. So I think that would have been considered a catch because he did take steps. He did have control of himself. I think he could defend himself, and I think he did take a couple of steps, and I think he would have been down with the elbow. But the Aldo was forgetting with the if you go back to the Johnson, he has to literally have full control of the catch and give the ball to the referee for it to be considered a catch. You have to control it. It can hit the ground, but you have to maintain full control. And they have to see that in replay.
Thanks, Emilio. I think the point he brought up with Dez taking some steps, sort of falling down, he's being tackled at the same time, I think you can argue that he could defend himself in that situation. But based on the rules with this defenseless player
thing, it's going to vary from player to player.
But that gets back to this whole defenseless player thing as well, because some guys have taken shots in that situation. So if Dez Bryant had taken a shot right there, I think he could defend himself, but I think the NFL would have said, oh, he can't defend himself, and then that would have been a controversy too, because Packer fans would have been saying, well, how the heck are you supposed to stop him from getting in the end zone then? You're just supposed to let him fall forward six,
which
7 yards?
Which has been an argument that you hear a lot, that the league continues to make allowances for offenses and make it more difficult for defensive players to make tackles, to bring guys down. But I think when you look at the entire situation and you look at what these guys are saying, it's never going to be the perfect scenario. You could have a symposium and ask 6 or 7 players to make a football move, and none of them are going to look alike. And because there are defensive players pursuing and sometimes hitting, I just think it's going to be very difficult to definitively say what is or isn't establishing oneself as a runner. And that, for me, is the biggest issue here. Why change it at all if there's still going to be so much confusion?
I think that's a good way to end the discussion. Jen wrapped it up right there. Real quick before we end the show, we need to see if Bobby in Glendale Heights is... first of all, he set a new record. And we need... what are the chances he's actually here? When I click the button to
Bobby's
put
there.
Him on the air.
I think he's there.
How long has he been on hold?
2 hours and 20 minutes, which is a new record.
Going back to our Bulls conversation.
Wow.
From way early in the show.
Love Bobby.
You think he's there?
I do.
50% chance he's there?
I believe in Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
I'm here, guys. Whoa! How do you like that? Hey, you guys are terrific. I want to tell you that right now.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for staying on hold as long as you did.
No problem. I'm a diehard sports fan here, and here's what I want to make a comp about Thibodeau. He's a fantastic coach. It would be the biggest mistake the Bulls ever did by getting rid of that man. Next to Phil Jackson, he's the best that we ever had.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Wow. Thank you.
Great. The only reason I had to cut you off there is because we got to go. But I think it's a great way to end the show.
You're a champ.
Great endurance, Bobby. You're a true champion.
Give Bobby some Lou Malz.
Adam
no
Hogue.
No minutes restriction
Jen
for
Latta.
Bobby.
We'll be back tomorrow. It's Cap'n Hall. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Well, see you later.